Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We are going to study lesson 19 of Theological Instructions. And this lesson is on Qada and Qadar. Qada is decree and Qadar is measure. Of course, they have different technical meanings, but literally, it is what I said. Qadar or Qadr means measure, means size. And Qada means to settle, to decide, to judge, to finish, to terminate. There are many different meanings. You know, for example, sometimes it means to terminate. Quran says about the people who are in hell, they ask the patron of hell, which is Malik. Nadaw ya Malik, liyaqdi alayna rabbuk. Your Lord should finish us. Liyaqdi alayna. Liyaqdi means terminate us. Qala innakum makithun. But you have to stay here. You are not going to be finished. You have to stay. So, there are many different meanings for Qada. What is important is that in all these cases of occurrences of Qada in Quran and other Arabic sources, in Qada there is always a kind of decisiveness, a kind of doing something finally, whether it is judging, whether it is terminating, whatever it is. It means that you want to make a decisive decision or a decisive change. Okay, these are literal meanings of Qada and Qadar. But what do our scholars mean by Qada and Qadar? This is important. Everything that happens goes through a process of measuring, planning, and then it becomes final, and then it happens. Nothing in this material, physical world comes without going through this system. Because I think I once mentioned to you in this course, I think it was in this course, that we have two different worlds, two different, you know, universes. Ala lahul khalqu wal amr. We have alam amr and alam khalq, the universe of creation, the universe of command. Yeah? In the universe of command, which is for the abstract beings, for mujarradat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates them without being in need of having any conditions met. They don't depend on any pre-existing conditions. Kun fayakun. This is why they are eternal. For example, angels are eternal. They don't need to wait for the parents, you know, I don't know, or for, you know, certain, I don't know, timing or temperature or, you know, food. Kun fayakum. And because they don't depend on anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they are eternal. It means that they have always been there. But when it comes to alamul khalq, the universe of creation, everything comes in a very specific condition and is coming at a very certain point. Many things have to come together so that we can have this. Okay? Now, in the case of natural events, for example, to have an earthquake, to have, I don't know, moon eclipse, to have sunrise, to have rain, it's not something happens by chance. It's not something that happens without preparatory steps. But the thing is that we don't have that much role here. There is a system, this system is going on, and then the result is this event. Yes, sometimes our actions can even have impact on natural, you know, phenomena. For example, sometimes we create trouble in the nature, or even maybe our sins can stop rain coming, you know. These are other things. But normally, even when human beings, you know, don't exist, these things can happen. We can have some role, but they can also happen without us. But when it comes to human beings, the issue becomes very sensitive. When we say human actions are also planned and then decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here becomes sensitive. If we say rain, sunrise, earthquake, I don't know, these type of things are according to qadha and qadar, it's not very difficult. But we say even our actions are subject to qadha and qadar, then people may say, so then what is our role? If Allah has planned everything and then He has made the final decree, which is qadha, so what is our role? This is why we discuss it here after the lesson about jabr wa ikhtiyar, after the lesson about predestination and free will. We discussed the issue of qadha and qadar to understand what is the role of human beings. Okay? There are different ways to explain qadha and qadar. One way, which is mentioned here, is this. If you are interested in more detailed discussion in the courses on Islamic belief system, we expanded on qadha and qadar. But here, I keep it very short. When we say everything which is happening in this world, even our actions, free actions, are according to Allah's taqdeer, or Allah's planning, and Allah's qadha, we mean one of the two things. Sometimes we mean qadha and qadar ilmiyain, which means scientific qadha and qadar. Sometimes it means qadha wa qadar ayniyain, means existential, objective. What does it mean? It means that everything that happens in this world is known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That how it happens, and also the final decision, is also known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very easy, not difficult to understand. For example, if we have met tonight here, okay? This was known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In His knowledge, He knew that we are going to come from different routes, everyone from his own place, her own place, coming and meeting here tonight. This was known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew this in his essence. But also, we have, according to the Quran, some tablets. Okay? Some tablets in which Allah's knowledge of the things are registered. The highest tablet, compared to which your tablets are nothing, is Lawh-e Mahfuz. Lawh-e Mahfuz, the preserved tablet. Okay? It's interesting that nowadays we use the concept that the Quran has used. Lawh-e Mahfuz, preserved tablet, has everything registered there. Everything that happens in this world, up to the end of this world, is there. This is Lawh-e Mahfuz, this is Ummul Kitab. Everything is there. Even the Quran comes from there. Okay? Then we have lower tablets. which we call alwah mahv ithbat. Mahv means wiping, ithbat means registering. What does it mean? Means these are the tablets in which things can be put there, but then they can be taken out. It means that they are subject to change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Yamhullah, this is Surah Ra'ad, verse 39 of Surah Ra'ad. Yamhullahu ma yasha' wa yuthbit wa indahu ummul kitab. Allah wipes out or registers, and with him is the mother of the book. The motherboard or the mother book, the preserved tablet, okay? These are two names for the same reality, which is the reality in which the scientific image or the scientific data are stored. If someone has access to Lohe Mahfud, he knows everything. Exactly as they are going to happen. If someone has access to Lohe, which is lower, or to the Alwah, which are lower than Lohe Mahfud, you know things, but they are not final. They may change. Okay? So, for example, sometime in your dream, you see that a person has accident. In your dream, you see that he has accident. Okay? Your dream is true. In the sense that it's not just, you know, something fabricated by your mind. Your mind, through the process of the ascension of the soul, has got access to that tablet. But that person tomorrow gives sadaqah, and that accident doesn't take place. You were right that he's going to have accident, but it was not final. It was subject to change. You know, we have cases, for example, about prophets informing about something and then it didn't happen. Like Isa alayhi salam, for example, informed about death of someone after the wedding, but that person didn't die because of sadaqah. Or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with his companions saw a person going outside town to collect some log, you know, some wood. And Rasulullah said that this person, for example, is going to die. He came back and he was okay. Then they said, open this, you know, what he was carrying, you know, this, you know, bundles of wood. Inside there was a snack. So, because he had paid sadaqah, the person was not beaten, you know. So, sometimes you see what is going to happen, but it's not happening. Why? Because you saw something which was conditional. You saw something which was not in Lohe Mahfuz. It was in lower levels. Okay? So, anything that happens in this world is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Lohe Mahfuz also it is registered completely as it is. In other tablets they are registered but they are subject to change. This is very clear and it's not a very sensitive issue. The only thing is people may wonder how Allah knows things in advance. We already explained this in last lesson. That he can know things in advance without forcing us. He knows in advance what we are going to do voluntarily. And also we said that for him, past, present, future are the same, all these things. The more difficult part of it is qaza and qadar, not just as knowledge, in reality. To say that everything is planned and measured and fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes. Nothing happens in this world except that it is through qadha and qadar. Okay? But still we are free, still we are responsible. Sometimes, unfortunately, because we are not able to understand the meaning of these terms, we are confused. For example, we don't want to accept responsibility. Okay? So when something goes wrong, instead of I say I accept that I was responsible for this mistake, for this failure, I say in the qaza and qadar of Allah, this was supposed to happen. Yeah? When there is success, we say it's me. When there is problem, he says, you know, Allah didn't want this happen. So, you know, sometimes I mention this example. One of ulama, Ayatollah Shahabadi, he saw that there is a nail coming out of piece of wood from wall. And he told one of his talibah, his students, bring a hammer and fix this nail because people may, you know, be passing by and it can damage their abba or, you know, injure them. The nail has come out. So he said, if in Allah's qaza and qadar this is going to happen, it happens. If it is not, then it's not going to happen. There is no need to bring, you know. Then told him something in Farsi, which I cannot say. With a cut. It was not very diplomatic. Wanted to give him a lesson. But to make it brief, he said, you are calling your laziness qaza and qadar. When I tell you you should fix this, you should fix this. You don't want to fix, you're lazy. You don't want to go and find the hammer and bring and fix it. And you say, you know, if Allah knows this is going to happen or if it's God. Sometimes this is the problem with religious people. They are lazy. They don't want to do things. They don't want to undertake responsibility. They say, it's already decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should just be pleased with that.
What no. Ayatollah?
Ayatollah Shahabadi. We have to understand that qaza and qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not replace our free will. They are not to replace our free will. We have to be active, we have to plan, we have to work hard. And this does not contradict qaza and qadar. You know, if you were not going to a school, you were not going to university, you were not going to a study. Today we had a generation of, you know, illiterate people. And that was qaza and qadar of Allah for us. Now, alhamdulillah, we have educated people. This is qaza and qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if we suffer from problems, we cannot put the blame on Allah and say, you know, this was your qaza and qadar. So, then what is qaza and qadar? In this world, everything happens according to a very clear procedure. If you want to become, for example, a successful teacher, a successful mother, father, I don't know, businessman, alim, whatever, there is a system, there is a procedure. Okay? If you want to go, for example, to another town, if you want to go to, I don't know, Mashhad, there is a procedure. You cannot travel to any direction and then expect to arrive in Mashhad. You cannot do what you like and expect to become a good mother, a good teacher, a good alim. Yeah? Everything is well planned. This is called taqdeer. This is qadar. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world has made different tracks. Each track is going towards certain destinations. You know, imagine, for example, you have 1 million rail tracks. Each takes you to somewhere. Okay? Everything is also planned. If you go this track, that's your destination. And you will certainly arrive there. If you take another track, that's your destination and you will arrive there. So, taqdir means everything is planned and regulated. And qadha means that when you follow that track, you would reach that end. That outcome. If I drink milk, it strengthens my bones. So a person who always drinks milk, okay, his bones become strong. This is qaza of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I drink poison, I will be killed. That is qaza of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I cannot blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of your qaza and qadar, I have reached this point. Yes, there is something that is not mentioned in the book. I have discussed this in details in some courses, Aqaid, Islamic belief system. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his general plan for the world, has made already decisions. And those are going to take place, whether you want it or not. Okay? They are going to take place. Those are final decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants this world to finish. There will be day of judgment. Whether you like it or not, this is not in our choice, in our hand. Or the establishment of universal government of Imam Zaman and establishing justice and peace, this is final decision of Allah. This is going to happen. Okay? Or more, kind of locally. The defeat of Fir'aun was decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fir'aun could not stop this. Okay? But, as I have explained in those lectures, even in these cases, Allah will not take away from us our free will. This is very important. Even when he has a final decision for something to happen, either in a universal scale or in a local scale, still he doesn't take away our free will. For example, Imam Zaman is going to come and he's going to establish justice. Okay? This is definitely happening. But still Allah is not forcing this. He waits. Till a group of people come who decide to work hard and prepare for this. He's not in hurry. He says, this is my plan. But which generation is going to do this? Now or after 10 million years? We don't know. It can be this year, it can be after 10 million. But this is going to happen. Or even in the local, in a very, quick plans like Fir'aun, which the plan was going to materialize very quickly because Fir'aun, had this dream that he's going to be defeated by a son from Bani Israel. Even then, Allah didn't take away free will of Fir'aun. Fir'aun was still free, but he didn't manage to stop Allah's plan. And this is a very beautiful discussion, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manages to implement his plan without taking away our freedom. Okay? I gave this example that sometimes if you know psychology very well, okay? For example, the people who do, you know, lots of, you know, campaigns, or for example, you know, they do advertisement, this stuff, they work on the psychology of people, okay? They know how to present something to you so that you choose what they want. You are free, but they have engineered your choice. Yeah, they do it. They know how to present something to you that you decide to buy, you decide to pay for it, you take it home, then after a few days you realize that you didn't need it. You did everything freely, but they knew how to do this. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of taking away our freedom from us. But when He wants something to happen, He plans it in such a way that either you do what He wants, or even if you resist, you help again what He wants. If Pharaoh wanted to stop Musa from becoming a threat and destroying him, okay? If he was letting Musa to do this, he had problem. If he wanted to stop Musa, he had problem. Indeed, when he resisted, he increased problem. If he knew that there is such a plan by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and instead he tried to change himself, was much better for him. But he thought he is very clever. He said, okay, now that I know that what is the plan of God, I'm going to stop. You know how ignorant we become. And Allah is so confident that He tells Pharaoh about His plan. Yeah? Allah says, this is my plan. He's very confident. And actually, Allah wants him to have some counter attend, and Allah then uses that. So Allah said, this is my plan for you. Pharaoh thought he's very clever. He said, what I do? I kill all the sons of Bani Israel. Okay. First of all, by this decision, he increased the hatred of people for himself. He made many, many people against him. So these are all people who are going then to support Musa. Yeah, Musa needs people who are very angry with Pharaoh. So Pharaoh, by this, created potential helpers for Musa. Then, mother of Musa, if there was no threat, was keeping Musa with herself. No mother is going to give her baby to someone else. But because she was worried about the safety of Musa, she had to put Musa in a casket and put it in the river. Okay? This is all because of what Pharaoh did. Then this baby went to that branch of the Nile which was going inside the palace of Pharaoh. At which time? Exactly the time that Pharaoh and his wife were there to have a little rest, maybe. They, you know, looking at the river, you know, and enjoying. And they had no child. Now, a child comes, you know, with a smiling face. It's very sweet. So say, we can take this as our child. Okay, now what happens is that now Pharaoh becomes responsible for Musa. If Musa was in his mother's house, could be very vulnerable a little, you know, problem, a soldier, a thief, someone could attack. But now he's adopted son of Pharaoh. People cannot even look at him, you know, with bad intention. Yeah? The best food from any part of the world comes from the child of Pharaoh. The best teachers, the best educators, especially because military was very important, Pharaoh made sure that he's the best person in fighting. Yeah? If you wanted the best training, you know, program for Musa, where you could have this best training? Under Pharaoh. Yeah? If you wanted someone knows all the secrets of Pharaoh, you had someone who goes even to his bedroom, even to go to his private meetings. Yeah? So, now, Pharaoh, with his own free will, with his own free will, is helping only the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is meaning of wa makaru wa makar Allah wa Allahu khayrul makirin. People normally think that makaru wa makar Allah means that people plan, Allah plans, and Allah's plan is better. No. It's much more than this. People plan, and Allah says, okay, I take your plan inside my plan. I have a bigger plan, and now you work for me. This is khayrul makirin. Do your best. So Allah doesn't need to make totally different plan. Allah let them tire themselves, exhaust themselves, but they are only adding to their own problems and to their own loss. Yes. So we should never think that we can resist against Allah's plan. We should never think that we are very clever. Now that we know and we have resources, okay, we try to stop. You cannot do this. It's always better to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to do only good, so that you become good agents for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not bad agents. Because everyone is, in the end, agent for him. Even Iblis is an agent. Without, of course, getting any credit. Even Iblis is not making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'uzu billah, unable. Even Allah is now using Iblis in his plan. Okay? So, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants something happen, and this is going to definitely happen, but even in such cases, he would not take away freedom of anyone. Even freedom of Pharaoh is not taken away from him. Everyone is free, everyone can decide to be good, to be bad. So we should not think that because there is qaza or qadar, so people are forced. If people were forced, then there is no justice. You cannot, you know, punish people if they are forced. No one is forced. It is his wisdom that works out things in the way that they are free, but at the same time he can have his own plan, you know, materialized. But these are also very exceptional cases. There are exceptional cases that Allah has made decisive decision. In most of the cases, Allah has left it to us. We have, you know, billions of people. All of them can be good, all of them can be bad. There is no fixed qaza here. We can have, you know, poverty, we can have no poverty. There is no fixed qaza here, okay? Most of the things are left to us, but there are several things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed plan for them, especially when it comes to the end of this world. Allah has fixed plan. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has fixed norms or laws or sunan also, which if we learn, we can benefit from them. That, for example, in tansurullah yansurkum. This is a law of this world. Any person who helps Allah, he will receive help. So whenever you feel your energy is not enough, don't worry. There is a way to double or you know, triple your energy. And that is when you put your energy in the bank of Allah. Put it in the bank of Allah, then it will be multiplied. So you can do more things with energy. There are things like this that we can learn, but free will is always there. Free will is not taken away. Sometimes in our hadith, qada is used in the same sense as qadar. Or qadar is used in the same sense as qada. Interchangeably, they are used. For example, sometimes you see that it is said, dua, prayer can change qadha. We said qadha has to be decisive. What does it mean that ad-dua yaruddul qadha? And that the obrama ibrama, for example. It means that if there was no dua, this was going to be final. But it was not really final. It was conditional. Without dua, you were going to have this much of life. But now, your life is extended. Without sadaqah, you were going to have accident. Now, accident is removed. So sometimes qadha is used in our hadith in the sense of qadar, in the sense that depending on what route you take, what tracks you go, you will have different end. What are the outcomes of having this belief in qadha and qadar? Why Quran mentions this idea? What is the benefit? One benefit is that you know more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way He runs the world. This is something good to know. It is always better to know more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But something practical is that when you know everything is in Allah's hand and according to His planning, then if things go wrong, you don't lose your hope. And if things go very well, you don't become proud. Because unfortunately, we have these problems. In difficult situations, we become hopeless. In good situations, we become proud. Yeah? Unfortunately, as soon as we have no problem, we think, oh, we are okay because of ourselves. And if for a few days we have problem, we become very hopeless. Knowing that everything is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He has control over the system and He can always bring good changes, will make you always hopeful, but at the same time will not let you to become proud of yourself, because it's totally known that we are not able to do anything independent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran in Surah Hadid, verses 22 and 23, says, "Ma asaba min musibatin fil ard wala fi anfusikum illa fi kitab." No calamity happens to you in the earth or in yourselves, like death, illness, so on and so forth, unless it is in a book. Min qabl an nabra, before we create. Everything is registered. Means Allah knows everything. Inna dhalika ala Allah yaseer. This is very easy for Allah. Why? لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. So that when you lose something, you don't become sad. You don't grieve. And when you have something, that Allah gives you something, don't become too happy. You can be happy, but not too happy in the sense that you become proud. And according to some hadith, this is the meaning of zuhd. Zuhd. إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمَعَ الزُّهْد بَيْنَ كَلِمَتَيْنَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ لِكَيْ لَا تَعْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. This is the meaning of zuhd. When you have, don't become proud. And when you don't have, don't grieve. Zuhd is not to have. Yeah? The meaning of zuhd, asceticism, is not to have. Zuhd doesn't mean to have empty pocket, empty bank, empty fridge, empty house, empty mind. This is not zuhd. Zuhd means not to be proud and not to be preoccupied by your possessions. There's a beautiful hadith. لَيْسَ الزُّهْدْ أَلَّا تَمْلِكَ شَيْئًا بَلِ الزُّهْدْ أَلَّا يَمْلِكَكَ شَيْئًا. Zuhd does not mean not to possess. Zuhd means not to be possessed. You can have very large house, not luxurious house, large house. Large house is good. Yeah? من سعادة المرء سعة داره. One of the things that Allah may bless you with is to have a large house. But what is important is, are you possessed by this house or you are possessing the house? If you are possessed by the house, you are always worried about this house. Now you are in the class, you are thinking, what is going to happen to my house? Or you don't want anyone to come to your house because they make my house dirty, you know. I want my house, you know, to be always, you know, quiet and, you know, clean. No guest, no visitor, no one. But if you have a good house and you are the real owner, you are benefiting from your house, this is good. So, ليس الزهد الله تملك شيئا بل الزهد الله يملكك شيئا. So Allah in these verses of the Quran has put right definition of zuhd. لَكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. So this is about the benefit of believing in qada and qadar. And at the end, Ayatollah Misbah says, no one should take the idea of qada and qadar as a justification for laziness or not accepting responsibility. Qada and qadar have nothing to do with laziness. You have to indeed be working harder. You have to be sure that if you do things properly, success is guaranteed. Yeah? Because in this world, everything is planned. You know, we are not living in a chaotic world. You know, imagine if you go to a study and you know that the marks which are given have no basis. Some people don't study, they get very good marks. Some people study, they get bad marks. There is no system. There is no way to predict. What would be the impact? You say, there is no benefit in studying. Yeah? But if you know that every person, depending on the answer he or she has given, all the work that he has done, all the homework, class activities, everything, absence, attendance, everything is taken into account. Even whether he was or she was listening attentively or not, whether he was there joyfully or not, everything is taken into account. Even when he is at home, he's thinking about class or not, then you know that I have to be very, very careful, very, very cautious. Even one moment of my attention is taken into account. So you become very careful. Okay? So this world is like this. We are not living in a chaotic world that some people by chance become successful, some people by chance fail, some people by chance, you know, become good, some people by chance become bad. No, it's not like this. Everything has reason. If we work hard, if we plan, if we organize ourselves, if we unite our hearts, definitely success is there. It's impossible for an individual or a nation to fail if they act according to this plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's impossible for us to succeed if we are lazy, if, you know, we take, you know, chances, you know, we don't organize ourselves, or there is na'uzubillah conflict, hatred, we boycott each other. It's impossible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Man yartadda minkum an dinihi fasawfa ya'ti Allah biqawmin akhar. Allah has no a special affinity with any nation. Any nation can be close to Allah, and any nation can lose his place. Yeah? Allah says, if you are not going to act properly, I will bring another nation. Yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbuna. Allah will bring another nation that they will love him, and Allah loves them. Adhillatan ala al-mu'minin, a'izzatan ala al-kafirin. They will be very humble with the believers, but when it comes to the enemies, they are very strong. And it is said that when this verse was revealed, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, referred to Salman, said, this is the nation of Salman. That Allah is bringing them as the nation that loves them, and they love Allah, and they will be humble for mu'mineen, and they will be strong against the enemies. But this is not fixed. It can always rotate. One day, Bani Israel were so much favored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah says, فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Yeah, means I raised you over alamin, all the nations, all jinns, human beings. Allah used to send them food from heaven, not once. Anzalna alaykum al-manna was-salwa. Yeah, food and desert, well, coming down to them. Yeah, lots of prophets, but they changed. Then Allah changed. Yeah. So we can never be taking things for granted. Indeed. If we act properly, Allah supports us and raises us. Indeed. If we, na'uzubillah, become lazy, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, now is the time to change. We give chance to others. May Allah, inshallah, keep us always in his circle of good friends, inshallah. Alhamdulillah.